Have you ever made some sort of vow to God? Perhaps you were in some sort of trouble. You made a vow that if God would do something to help you, you would serve Him with your life, or something like that. Well, today we're going to see that if we really believe God's word and are convinced that God is trustworthy, we won't try to manipulate Him with our vows. We will simply trust Him and obey His instructions. Stay with us to learn more about this today on The Wisdom Journey.
The Bible introduces us to God. And through this inspired book, God reveals who He is. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us everything about God, but it tells us everything we need to know about God, enough to walk with Him and trust Him. Well, today in our study here in the book of Judges, we're going to watch Jephthah, the judge, make an unwise decision instead of trusting the Lord and what he knows about the Lord. We're in Judges chapter 11 today, and Jephthah is offering peace to the enemy nation of Ammonites. He's going to give him a little history lesson here on why Israel had the divine right to their land. This is the land of God's promise. And I got to tell you, the Ammonite king isn't interested. And so a war begins brewing between these nations. As the battle approaches, Jephthah knows that he needs the Lord's help. But instead of trusting the Lord, he makes a foolish vow. Now, if you want to know the truth of the matter, this is nothing more than a spiritual bribe to get a guarantee from God. Jephthah says to God here in verse 30, "If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Now, making vows isn't necessarily wrong. In fact, they're mentioned throughout the Old Testament. But Jephthah's vow comes from a lack of faith. Jephthah doesn't believe God's promise can be trusted. He says here in verse 30, "If you will give the Ammonites into my hand." Now, the problem is God has already said he would do just that. Now, let me say this, beloved. God is faithful to his promises, whether you make a vow to him or not. In fact, you might not keep that vow or that promise, but God will always keep his promises. In fact, let me just kind of pull over here for a moment. You might remember in our last study that Jephthah's father was an unfaithful Jewish man. He didn't keep his wedding vows to his wife, and later on he wouldn't defend Jephthah from his half-brothers and from the elders of Gilead that drove Jephthah into exile. Frankly, Jephthah's father was an untrustworthy man. He didn't keep his word. You know, a young person's view of God is tremendously influenced in their formative years by their father's character. The way a father keeps his word can shape that child's view of whether or not God will keep his word. I had the privilege of growing up with godly parents. I frankly couldn't imagine my father telling a lie. I knew I could trust his word, and that helped shape my view of my trustworthy Heavenly Father. Now, I'm not, you know, playing pop psychologist and defending Jephthah here. I'm really just trying to understand him. His father couldn't be trusted. The elders of Gilead couldn't be trusted. And here, Jephthah doesn't think God can be trusted. But Jephthah isn't alone in this perspective. Many people today think God can be bribed, you know, with some good deeds or church attendance. They think his promises are for sale. Maybe send in a little money and God will make sure you get promoted at work. My friend, God cannot be bought or manipulated. You don't have to pay him off to keep his word. I remember as a kid on the playground, it was one thing for somebody to make you a promise, but if you really wanted to make their promise binding, you'd say, "Cross your heart and hope to die." I mean, that meant you were very serious. I wonder if we try to get God to cross his heart and hope to die because we don't really fully trust him. Well, just as God promised Jephthah, verse 32 tells us that the Lord gave them into his hand. Verse 33, the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Now, Jephthah has vowed to offer as a burnt offering the first thing that runs out of the house when he comes home from battle. He assumes it's going to be a goat or a chicken, or better yet, one of the household cats. That'd be fine with me. But verse 34 informs us that it isn't a goat or a chicken or a cat. It's his only child, his daughter. And with that, Jephthah is obviously devastated. Now, there are a lot of opinions on whether or not Jephthah actually offered his daughter to God as a burnt offering. And I don't have the time to give you all the opinions out there. I only have time to give you the right one, okay? Let me give you four reasons why Jephthah did not sacrifice his daughter to God. First, God's law condemned human sacrifice. Now, if you're thinking that maybe Jephthah didn't know God's law, verses 37 and 38 tell us that there was a two-month delay before he fulfills this vow. So, if he didn't know, that was enough time certainly for the elders to come along and tell him God is not going to accept a human sacrifice. Secondly, the tragedy described here is Jephthah's loss of future children, not the death of his daughter. Verse 34 says, then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. See, the emphasis here is on the fact that she's the only hope he has for grandchildren and a family legacy in Israel. Third, Jephthah's daughter doesn't weep over losing her life, but over never being able to get married. She says to her father here in verse 37, leave me alone 2 months that I may go up and down on the mountains and weep for my virginity. See, she's not weeping over being sacrificed on an altar. She's weeping over the fact that she's not going to get married and have children of her own. She'll remain perpetually then a virgin. Now, I personally believe that Jephthah's vow is going to be fulfilled by dedicating her to God for tabernacle service for the rest of her life. You might remember that Hannah does this with her son Samuel. Well, Jephthah's daughter will serve in the tabernacle at Shiloh, and Jephthah will seldom, if ever, see her again. Now, there's one more reason I believe this is exactly what happened. We're told here in verse 40 that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah. Now, this Hebrew word for lament can be translated commune or talk with. So this verse tells us they went every year to Shiloh to spend time communing, talking with Jephthah's daughter. They're good friends and remain that way for life. Well, I have to tell you, unfortunately, Jephthah's foolish decisions aren't quite over. Here in Judges chapter 12, these angry Ephraimites show up again to cause trouble. They're angry that Jephthah didn't invite them along in the victory march against the Ammonites. And they're so angry, they say here in verse 1, we'll burn your house over you with fire. Imagine, they're so angry, they're going to try to kill him. Jephthah responds like that old gangster he'd been back in the land of Tob. He attacks them. He drives them back across the Jordan River. He kills many of them along the way. And this brings then a sad ending, what should have been a time of celebration following this great victory over the Ammonites. Well, Jephthah will serve for 6 years in Israel until he dies. Here in chapter 12, we're given the names of three little-known judges who follow after him. We're given very few details about their ministry. So the primary lesson here is that we need to trust the Lord when he makes us a promise. He never breaks a promise given to us in his word. We don't need to bribe him. We don't need to manipulate him. Let's just simply obey him. and trust Him. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That lesson was called Cross Your Heart and Hope to Die. It comes from Judges 11 and 12 as Stephen Davey continues this wisdom journey through God's Word. The month of May is quickly coming to a close. I want to remind you once again of the free resource we have available this month on our website. It's a gift for moms called Motherhood in a Variety of Settings. Download that today at wisdomonline.org. Join us again next time.